Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Karadama, Text 32. Saham Swamsha Kalaya Twad Viryena Mahamune Tava Kshetre Devahutyam Praneshye Tatva Samhitam Saham Swamsha Kalaya Tvadviryena Mahamune Tavakshetre Devahutya Praneshye Tatva Samhita Sahaham Swamsha Kalaya Tvadviryena Mahamune Tavakshetre Devahutya Praneshye Tatva Samhita. Praneshye, I shall instruct Tatva of the ultimate principles, Samhita, the doctrine. Translation, O great sage, I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife, Devahuti, along with your nine daughters, and I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Herein, the word Swangsha Kalaya indicates that the Lord would appear as the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni as Kapila Dev, the first propounder of the Sankhya philosophy, which is mentioned here as Tattva Samhita. The Lord foretold to Kardama Muni that he would appear in his incarnation Kapila Dev and would propagate the philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy is very well known in the world as propagated by another Kapila Dev. But that Sankhya philosophy is different from the Sankhya which was propounded by the Lord himself. There are two kinds of Sankhya philosophy. One is godless Sankhya philosophy, and the other is godly Sankhya philosophy. The Sankhya propagated by Kapila Dev, son of Devahuti, is godly philosophy. There are different manifestations of the Lord. He is one, but he has become many. He divides himself into two different expansions, one called Kala and the other Vibhinaksha. Ordinary living entities are called Vibhinaksha expansions, and the unlimited expansions of Vishnu Tattva, such as Vamana, Govinda, Narayana, Pradyumna, Vasudeva, and Ananta, are called Swangsha Kala. Swangsha refers to a direct expansion, and Kala denotes an expansion from the expansion of the original Lord. Baladev is an expansion of Krishna. And from Baladev, the next expansion is Sankarshan. Thus, Sankarshan is Kala, but Baladev is Swangsha. There is no difference, however, among them. This is very nicely explained in the Brahma Samhita chapter 5, verse 46. Departure evahi dashantaram abhupetya. With one candle, one may light a second candle. With the second, a third, and then a fourth. And in this way, one can light up thousands of candles. And no candle is inferior to another in distributing light. Every candle has the full potential candle power, but there is still the distinction that one candle is the first, another the second, another the third, and another the fourth. Similarly, there is no difference between the immediate expansion of the Lord and his secondary expansion. The Lord's names are considered in exactly the same way. Since the Lord is absolute, his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his quality all have the same potency. In the absolute world, the name Krishna is the transcendental sound representation of the Lord. There is no potential difference between his quality, name, form, etc. If we chant the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, that has as much potency as the Lord himself. There is no potential difference between the form of the Lord whom we worship and the form of the Lord in the temple. One should not think that one is worshipping a doll or statue of the Lord, even if others consider it to be a statue. Because there is not potential difference, one gets the same result by worshipping the statue of the Lord or the Lord himself. This is the science of Krishna consciousness. Sahaham swangsha kalaya tvadviryena mahamne tavakshetre devahutyam praneshye tatvasam hitam. O great sage, I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife Devahuti, along with your 9 daughters. And I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories. Nama Om Nishvivanay Krishna Prasnaya Mutalaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Bhastrachyade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkam Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Padidama Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, here in the purport, well, here in the verse, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is explaining to Karadama Muni two particular points which also Srila Prabhupada focuses on in the purport. First of all is that he is going to, through the combination of Karadama, who he's speaking to, and Devahuti, who's just very shortly going to become the wife of Karadama, that he himself, the Lord, who is speaking to Karadama Muni, the same Lord is going to manifest Swamsha Kalaya, his own plenary portion. Srila Prabhupada's adopted this term, plenary portion. Plenary, of course, means full. And portion means a part. So a full part. Yeah. Swa. Swa Anksha. Swa, his own. Anksha, part. And Kalaya is then a part of Swa-ansha, of his part. So he's going to manifest his own plenary portion along with the 9 daughters. And so that's the first point. And second point is that then that kalaya, that plenary portion, full part of himself, is going to instruct Devahuti, specifically Devahuti, not Karadama, because we understand that Karadama is just immediately going to leave home and he will not be present when the son, Kapila, gives instruction. But Kapila, that plenary portion of himself, the Lord, who's instructing Karadama, is going to instruct her in the system of yoga, a very specific, particular system of yoga, which involves analysis. It particularly involves analysis in terms of different categories, principles, different, what would you say, manifestations within this material world and ultimately, of course, spiritually. So this, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is known as Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy, or we use the term Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga. So Sankhya basically implies a system of analysis, well basically as we said, a system of analysis into the component parts which make up a greater whole, or in this case, the whole of existence. So it's an analytical process of yoga. It involves analysis of the material world into its component parts, the different elements of material nature. Bhumir apo nilo vayukam mano buddhir evacha. As Krishna, Lord Krishna, explains in Bhagavad Gita, then the three modes, then the different senses and the different functions of the senses. So in different ways, and beyond that also to some degree, in different ways analyzing the material world, and thereby coming to see the material world in those terms. But then not just stopping with the analysis of the material world, but an analysis of the spiritual dimension. The different components, the composition of the spiritual dimension, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And thereby, therefore, because there's one approaches the Lord, at least ultimately, and focuses on the Lord as the highest part of that whole arrangement. Therefore, it's called not just Sankhya, but Sankhya Yoga. In order for something to be correctly titled as a form of yoga, there has to be a link with the Supreme Lord. If there's not, then you cannot, in truth, refer to it as a system of yoga. Therefore, today, of course, everybody knows generally about Hatha Yoga, which may go by different names amongst different groups of people, but basically there we're talking about a process of physical exercise, different physical exercises. Ultimately, at least in the classic or real sense, that Hatha Yoga is meant to help one through attuning the physical system as favorably as possible. It's meant to help one to tune into and focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if it doesn't, though, if it just remains a physical process, or as it seems, it is seen by the great majority of people, just a some way of keeping fit, then it can no longer, in the real sense of the term, be called a system of yoga. Because yoga means, like we said, to link with God. And in a process which is called yoga correctly, then the linking with God is the main part of it, not just some sort of element on the side, but it's actually the main part, and it's what everything else is very specifically bringing one to the point of. So, but here, Sri Sri Radha Radhana, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Here, the system of Sankhya Yoga, which Lord Kapila is going to present to Mother Devahuti, it is a genuine system of yoga, because even though it involves analysis and understanding the positions of and even seeing the different component elements of the material nature, ultimately it brings you to the point of understanding the Supreme Lord, perceiving the Supreme Lord, and then the Lord becomes the focus, and therefore it's a real system of yoga. So these are the two points. The particular personality who's going to appear as the son of Kardama and Devahuti, and then the philosophy that son, Lord Kapila, is going to propound. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada goes through all the different points, these two different points. First of all, Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between this Lord Kapila who's going to appear and his particular Sankhya philosophy and a different Kapila who appeared later. Not so recently, but much more recently, because Lord Kapila, he's back in Satya Yuga. But definitely more recently than that, another Kapila who also propounded a philosophy of Sankhya analysis, but it did not accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being what is meant to be realized. So it's a godless Sankhya philosophy. It's a godless Sankhya philosophy. And as fate would have it, within this material world, the material world being what it is, if there are two things which have similarities, similarities, but one is much cheaper than the other, take a guess which is going to be the more popular. So that's what happened, that the Sankhya philosophy, godly Sankhya philosophy of Lord Kapila, the son of Kardama and Devahuti, which is a very Krishna conscious process, very, very Krishna conscious process, involving very profound meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it basically became sidelined, you could say, when this other Kapila came along with his godless atheistic version of Sankhya philosophy. And indeed, as we understand, that philosophy of the atheist Kapila, the more recent one, it has become Jainism. This is what we hear. Correct. It's become Jainism. And Jainism, of course, compared to Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, it's not popular on the same level as those processes. But, at least in India, it's popular enough. There are enough Jains around, and there are numerous Jain temples and places of pilgrimage, and so it's going on. It's going on reasonably actively, and some of those temples, I've seen photos. Some of them are very beautiful, extremely beautiful. Yeah. very opulent and carved very intricately. So, even though it's not so widespread at all, but it's there. It's definitely there. It's a somewhat substantial presence in this world, and particularly in India. But it's atheistic. Whereas, of course, Krishna consciousness is here, but we, our practice of Krishna consciousness, of course, it's related to the teachings of Lord Kapila, but it's also, there are substantial differences. There are definitely substantial differences, and the philosophy which we are following is the philosophy taught by Lord Chaitanya, taught by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, but then as applied by Lord Chaitanya and then taught by Lord Chaitanya, with particular focus on the chanting of the holy names. Yeah, so there are substantial differences, even though in a very broad sense, of course, they fall under the same banner of a bona fide Krishna conscious process, Vaishnava process. So then Srila Prabhupada goes on to discuss the term, the word Swangshakalaya, Swangshakalaya. Prabhupada gives an analysis that first of all, there are different levels, different types of expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it begins with two, as Prabhupada says, Kala and Vibhinansha. Vibhinansha. So we are the Vibhinansha expansions. We are expansions of the Lord in a certain sense. In the sense that the energy of the Lord, it cannot be simply different from the Lord. Like totally different, totally separate and fully independent. So we're expansions of the Lord in that sense. Therefore, on a few occasions, very few, but on a few, Prabhupada said that in that sense, in a certain sense, the idea that some people have that they are God, it's not totally incorrect. One needs to understand it properly, otherwise it becomes extremely misleading. But we are parts of Krishna. We are parts of the Lord. And at least qualitatively, we're basically not different from the Lord. And Prabhupada would give different examples to illustrate that. The gold, if someone has a gold ring or some gold jewelry of some sort, then you cannot say that it's different from the gold mine, the gold in the gold mine. You cannot just say that, well, they're different, they have nothing to do with each other. It's not the case at all. The gold in the gold ring is as much gold as the gold in the mine. Qualitatively, quantitatively, obviously there's great difference. But still, there's a oneness. There's definitely a oneness. And therefore our philosophy is called, the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, is called Achintya Bhed Abhed Tattva. That there is a somewhat inconceivable, it's not totally like just absolutely inconceivable and therefore just cannot be understood. But there's that element of difficulty, particularly for people who are materially conditioned, to understand it. And inconceivable, somewhat inconceivable, bade difference and abade non-difference or oneness, you could say, between the Lord and everything that has come from the Lord, including us. All his different forms, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, and even us, and even just the different objects which are present in the material world. There's difference, but there is non-difference. There's a type of oneness also. So anyway, that's vidinamsha. Amsha meaning part. Amsha meaning part. And vibina meaning, what's the word? Separated. So we're separated parts. But then the other main division of expansions from the Lord, they're called kala. Kala meaning a part. As Prabhupada explains here, swansha, swansha, my part, refers to a direct expansion, and kala denotes an expansion from the expansion. And you may even get expansions from the expansion of an expansion. It's a definitely sufficiently complex picture. And as the Bhagavatam says, that the expansions of the Lord are as numerous or even more numerous than the number of waves in the ocean. So many, what can you say? It's just some vast, vast number. But actually there's no limit, in fact. Ultimately there's no limit to the different forms of the Lord. And there's all these different types and subtypes like this. But Krishna himself specifically is the original form. As the Bhagavatam says, first canto, very famous and very important verse, first canto chapter 3 verse 28, ete chansa kala punsa krishnastu bhagavan swaya indrari yakalambo kam riddhyanti yuge yude yuge. First two lines in this regard are the main ones. Eti chansa kala punsa. All these expansions and all the expansions of the expansions of the Supreme Lord, they're all there. They're all there, but Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Bhagavan, the original form, the original possessor of all opulence, or in other words, the original possessor of everything, is Krishna himself, Bhagavan Swayam. Bhagavan, of course, means possessor of all opulences. And Swayam means, it's a point of emphasis, you could say. Swayam means the very one, directly that, pointing it out. It's identifying in very particular and specific terms that Krishna is that the actual Bhagavan, the very one. Even though the term Bhagavan is used in relation to other personalities, at least to other forms of the Lord, and even to some other persons, sometimes in Bhagavatam Narada when he's addressed as Bhagavan. Hiranyakashipu refers to or addresses Lord Brahma as Bhagavan. Of course, that may be, there may be some sort of diplomatic idea behind that. But certainly some great, great devotees like Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, sometimes they're also referred to as Bhagavan. So, therefore it can be confusing, and it is confusing to many people. Who is the ultimate one? Who is the ultimate Bhagavan? Who is the ultimate possessor of all opulences? Is it Lord Shiva? Is it Krishna? Is it Vishnu? Who is it? Who is it? So, but that verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 3, verse 28, is very specific that Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. He's not just Bhagavan, but he is the Bhagavan Swayam. He is the very one who is the Bhagavan. Very specifically. And it's interesting also the context in which that verse appears, that towards the end of the second chapter of the first canto, the question arises, request arises, can you please tell us about the incarnations of Bhagavan? So then, in the third chapter, the next chapter, then a whole list is presented, so many, more than 20 prominent forms of Bhagavan, and Krishna appears in that list. He is something like number 18 or 19 or something like that. And so many others, the others are there. Lord Nrisingadeva is mentioned, Lord Kurama, Varaha, etc. The Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, they're also there. And Krishna is there. But then after Suta Goswami completes the list, then he again, in the verse we mentioned, verse 28, he refers back to Krishna. Even though I have identified Krishna as being a form of Bhagavan, but actually he's not just a form of Bhagavan. He is Bhagavan Swayam. He is that very one who's the Bhagavan. You were asking about the incarnations of. Anyway, it's an extremely important point, actually. It's one of the most important foundational, fundamental points in religion or in existence. So Srila Prabhupada talks about this. The different expansions of Vishnu Tattva, they're called Swamsha Kala, expansions of the Supreme, of Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is the original Lord. Lord Balaram is an expansion from Krishna, and then from Baladev from Lord Balaram come so many expansions, and One of them, or first of them, is Lord Sankarshan from the first, what Prabhupada refers to as the first quadruple expansion, Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, in Goloka. And then from Sankarshan come so many others. So Prabhupada explains that Sankarshan is Kala, but Baladev is Swamsha, because he is directly an expansion of Krishna himself. So there's a distinction between Sankarshan and Lord Balaram, as there's a limited distinction, but there's a distinction between Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. But then there's a greater distinction between Balaram and Sankarshan, and then the different Narayan forms of the Lord, etc., and coming down to Mahavishnu, and the forms, the Purusha avatars within the material world. So there are differences, and there are differences in potency. There are differences in potency, there are differences in activities. There's not so much difference between Balaram and Krishna, even in their activities. They both herd cows, they both have groups of gopis, and some differences there, of course, but it's not so great. But then when you come down to the other forms, like sometimes we refer to Lord Nrisingadev, or we refer to Lord Ramachandra. Krishna has a rasa dance. Balaram has a rasa dance. Lord Ramachandra does not have a rasa dance. There are many things which Krishna does which Lord Ramachandra does not do. Lord Nrisingadev, of course, definitely doesn't have a rasa dance. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? But anyway, he definitely doesn't have a rasa dance. He basically just has one program. Krishna has many programs. So many things he does. Lord Nrisingadev basically has one program, one interest, one focus in his life, and that is to protect the devotees. If the devotees are threatened, particularly if the devotees are abused by some demoniac people, obviously the classic example is Hiranyakashipu who abusing Prahlad, then Lord Nrisingadev becomes activated, you could say. And he really gets into things. That's his focus. That's what he's looking for. That's what he responds to. Yes. But once he's done that, well, that's basically that for the time being. For him, his particular functional, particular pastimes are pastimes of protecting the devotees from danger. Different types of danger. Physical danger, like with Prahlad, but also, as Prahlad mentions in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, he prays to Lord Nrisingadev that, please protect me, please protect us from our demoniac desires, for material enjoyment in this material world. So he protects from that also. His program basically is one of protection. So Prabhupada makes this point that differences are there. There are different levels of expansions, incarnations of the Lord. even Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami in the Majjhalila towards the end of Majjhalila, Lord Chaitanya talks about six types of avatars. Avatar meaning those forms of the Lord which appear within this material world. Specifically, there are no avatars in the spiritual world. I mean, forms of the Lord who become avatars, who can be referred to as avatars because they appear in the material world, are there in the spiritual world, but they don't appear as avatars in the spiritual world. They're just there permanently. And there are also forms of the Lord which don't appear within the material world. So the term avatar can never be used to refer to them. So, that's just, you know, a little brief idea. There is a lot to the subject, but even amongst, as Lord Chaitanya explains, even amongst the different avatars of the Lord within the material world, there are six varieties. And in many ways, at least some of them are very different from the others. The Manus are very different from the Leela avatars, for example. So yes, it's a complex picture. What else would you expect? But we're informed of the most essential foundational aspects of it. But then Srila Prabhupada goes on to make another point, and referring to Brahma Samhita chapter 5 verse 46, very famous verse, Dipachya Evahita Shantaram Abhupetya. In that verse, Lord Brahma is saying how there's so many different forms of the Lord. Krishna is the original, and in this context, he's like the first of a number of candles which are all lit from the first. So the first occupies a unique position. It's the first. And the others being lit depends on the first. Yes. But once they're lit, they're lit. And it may be difficult even to understand which was the first or the second or the third. They're all basically the same, although there are differences. There is a first, there is a second. And Prabhupada says, every candle has the full candle power. That's an interesting point. The different forms of the Lord, different expansions, generally exhibit different of the qualities of the Lord, different potencies of the Lord, and to different degrees. This is all going on. But, Prabhupada says, every candle has the full potential candle power. If the Lord wishes, in any form of himself, because after all, they're simply forms of himself. Even though he doesn't do it, but if he wanted to do it, he could manifest more power. He could do it. He could manifest more qualities. He doesn't do it, but he could do it. Because every candle has the full potential candle power. So like this, as Prabhupada says, this is the science of Krishna consciousness. When the Lord expands, then we should know He is present. He may manifest with greater or lesser manifest potency, etc. But we should know this is the Lord. And particularly here, as Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport, with the deity, of course, well, there's the deity. You can see the deity. He is standing there, motionless. And to my knowledge, he has been doing that since 1985. And he was even doing it before, because he was, you know, he was waiting to be installed for a couple of years or so. So he's been standing there motionless for so many years, and therefore people with a certain type of mentality, they will definitely think this is some statue particularly. I mean, he's a bit big to be a doll, but Prabhupada also uses the term doll, a bit heavy to be a doll. But statue, there are many statues much bigger even than the deities. But this one, even Prabhupada says, that one gets the same result by worshipping the statue of the Lord. Sometimes he puts things in sort of the other way. But one gets the same result from worshipping the deity of the Lord as one gets from worshipping, if Krishna were to just walk in through the door right now in a fully manifest type of form in that sense, as he was here 5,000 years ago. But you get the same result from worshipping the deity. And actually the deity is no less capable if he wants. It's a question of if he wants. And there are all sorts of stories, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sakshi Gopal, Shirachori Gopinath. Sakshi Gopal particularly walked a good 1,000 or even more, couple of thousand perhaps, kilometers. What can you say? Shirachori Gopinath, well, he has that name because he stole the sweet rice. Yes. So actually the deities, and there's so many accounts of deities doing things, moving and talking and so on and so forth. Yes, so the deity is no less capable, but because he is being merciful to the conditioned souls by giving them the opportunity to become fully engaged in interacting with him in very personal ways through the process of deity worship, therefore, generally, he remains immobile. Yeah. You know how difficult it is to stay immobile? Like really immobile, even without blinking. That's difficult. That's difficult. But he can do it. He's been doing it for 35 plus years. Only the Lord can do things like that. Hare Krishna. Well, let me just mention, Prabhupada also says that the transcendental sound form of the Lord is no less potent, qualities, etc., etc. And the benefit one gets from chanting the holy names is no less than from worshipping the deity. Actually, it may even be more. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments or questions? Maharaj, some words of wisdom, correction. Yeah, Prabhupada talks about it nicely. It's written over that. Anyone? I know. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. How many?
They were 50 on mine. I'm not sure how much they were on my GoTV.
I asked him to check.